Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday morning, and that means it's time to check out what's on the agenda for the week. Joining us is Marcus Mabry, International Business Editor for our partner, The New York Times, and Rob Watson, Political Correspondent for our partner, the BBC, over in London. Marcus, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Marcus, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, she's continuing her trip to the Middle East this week. She spoke today at the U.S. Islamic World Forum and had very strong words for the Iranian government. We just heard about it in the headlines. She says that they're becoming a military dictatorship. Listen to this.
I fear that the rise of influence and power by the Revolutionary Guard poses a very direct threat to everyone.
She's also threatened greater costs to the Iranian regime if it does not comply with nuclear inspections and our desires for their nuclear program. Marcus, what is the Secretary of State doing? Is she isolating Iran or trying to strengthen ties with the rest of the Muslim world or a combination of both?
That's a great point, Todd. It's actually both. It's interesting what she really is at risk of this week, and it's not just the Secretary of State who's at risk, but even the President as he meets with the Dalai Lama, and we'll talk about later on. The administration is at risk this week of kind of highlighting American impotence in the world, and the fact that even though it's been a year since President Obama came to office with great hopes for foreign policy, we actually have not seen a great deal of progress on any of these really important fronts. And even in Afghanistan, we're seeing this is the most serious offensive we've ever had in Afghanistan this week in 8 years of war. So this, too, is a test of the administration's ability to change facts on the ground in a way that the previous administration never did. And that's what we're going to see in the Middle East this week with Secretary of State Clinton. The fact is, Iran, it's a military dictatorship, as she's declared. Well, what are we going to do about that? And it's not clear we can do a whole lot. When she talks about the cost, greater cost, she's talking about increased sanctions. And it's not even clear we can get that. And so the enjeu here is really the administration look a little stronger and a little more effective than they have in the past.
Rob Watson of the BBC, Marcus Mabry suggests that the time is ripe for some tough talk from the administration. It seems that Secretary Clinton talking about a military dictatorship in Iran is tailor-made for the Saudis, who are traditional enemies of the Iranians.
Absolutely, although I'm going to disappoint everyone by rather boringly agreeing with Marcus 100%.
Oh, hey, why not?
This does really sort of show up the impotence, if you like, or potentially the impotence. But I guess I'd want to see it as another way. You know, I remember there were lots of people around, certainly around Europe and some in the Middle East, who thought, phewy, thank goodness George W. Bush has gone. Now we can get on with solving some of these dreadful problems. And you get to see that the real issue that's out there is not so much who's in the White House, but just that there are an awful lot of problems that are very, very difficult to deal with, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or whoever you are. And this really reinforces it, and specifically on Saudi Arabia. Look, lots of Iran's neighbors realize that it's a threat. Lots of them were just dying for the nuclear issue to go away. But when you actually confront them and say, what are you going to do about it? Well, then you get the difficulties.
Rob Watson of the BBC, you mentioned the White House, and I want to move on to China, if we could, and the international sort of reaction to the president meeting with the Dalai Lama, specifically the Chinese. Now, this visit, the president going to be meeting with the Dalai Lama in the White House later this week, has been planned for a long time. Of course, the Chinese outrage is mounting right on cue. It's hard to imagine that this is a surprise for anyone. So how should we interpret the president's meeting with the Dalai Lama and the Chinese outrage over said meeting on the international stage?
Well, as you say, it's pretty much according to script, isn't it? Look, in international terms, the way countries like Britain and others in the European Union see it, that they're cutting Obama some slack here because they think, okay, you know, he's tried what everyone wanted him to do. Let's try being a bit nice to China. Let's try being a bit nice to North Korea and Iran. And let's try pressing the reset button with Russia. The very fact that he's tried those things and doesn't seem to have got a huge amount to date out of it means that everyone's right back on the script. Okay, well, you've got to see the Dalai Lama, you've got to do other things. You've got to be tough on Iran.
All right, well, let's listen to Press Secretary Robert Gibbs talking about this very issue earlier this week.
We can agree on issues that are of mutual interest, but we also have a mature enough relationship that we know that two countries on this planet are not always going to agree on everything, and we'll have those disagreements.
Okay, Marcus Mabry, the dynamic of poking China with the stick a little bit when you have to over the Dalai Lama is clear. But what does the president have to gain, do you think, from holding this meeting? Why does he feel he has to do it?
Well, he has to do it because he has to show that the United States still cares, although we care most of all, and it's increasingly clear in our relationship with China about our economic relationship with China, which is a mutually assured destruction, some would say, but certainly a mutually mutually beneficial relationship. They take our debt when no one else. They take it in great quantities, and we take their product. They're still export dependent economy. We take their product, so that's the most important thing about the relationship between these two countries. At the same time, the president of the United States, especially a Democratic president, especially given how much the Republican president before him did this, must underline how much the United States continues to care about the rights of minorities and religious minorities.
He has a political debate that demands this.
Absolutely. There's no other choice. And again, the last administration did so much in this regard, criticizing China on these issues, that he can't do any less.
All right, Marcus Mabry in the New York Times. I have to get your take on this little battle that's going, the battle of the vice presidents, Dick Cheney and the current vice president, Joe Biden, going at each other on the Sunday shows on terrorism. Let's give Dick Cheney his say first.
It's the mindset that concerns me, John. I think it's very important to go back and keep in mind the distinction between handling these events as criminal acts, which is the way we did before 9/11, and then looking at 9/11 and saying this is not a criminal act, not when you destroy 16 acres of Manhattan, kill 3,000 Americans, blow a big hole in the Pentagon. That's an act of war.
All right. Now, the vice president shot back and said that Dick Cheney's trying to be entitled to his own facts. What do you make of this battle?
Well, this is exactly the same criticism that the Republicans made against John Kerry when he was running against George W. Bush. The Democrats see it as a legal battle. The Republicans see it as an act of war. There's not a whole lot to it other than the politics and rhetoric that Cheney's pursuing, but the Republicans have had some success with it in the past.
These two seem to like going at each other. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times, and Rob Watson, BBC correspondent, joined us from Bush House in London. Thanks to you both.